What's up, everyone, and welcome back to another edition of Ride in the Pine. Jack Ridenour back with you all today, and as always, we've got another great episode in store for everyone at home, but before I get into all of that, let's take a little peek into the last episode. I was joined by a great guest from the St. Francis men's basketball team, Josh Cohen. Josh and I got into his career at St. Francis and what made him want to become a part of the Red Flash men's basketball program, how much he has improved during his time at St. Francis, and what it was like being named the NEC Most Improved Player last year, and so much more. So if you want to hear a little bit about Josh Cohen's career, go check out episode 253 and all 253 episodes that are out now on all podcast platforms. Now, getting into today, we're going to be joined by another great guest from, yet again, the St. Francis men's basketball team, Max Land. Max and I get into his career and discuss his journey to coming to St. Francis, what it was like being a major contributor early on in his career, and how it was adjusting to the college level of play and so much more. So if you want to hear a little preview into this upcoming season with the Red Flash, as well as a little bit about Max's career, don't go anywhere because here comes Max Land. So with that, folks, let's make our way into our show for today. So as always, be sure to find your favorite seat here on the bench with me. Sit back, relax, and enjoy the show. And I'm here with current member of the St. Francis men's basketball team, Max Land. Max, great to get you on the show today, my friend. How's it going?
It's going good, man. Appreciate you having me again.
Absolutely. Yeah, really appreciate you hopping on and wanting to talk a little bit about your career in some Red Flash basketball. I've had your head coach on. I've had one of your teammates on. So I love the publicity we're getting towards St. Francis. But want to get into the here and now and just how this offseason has been for you. I mean, what's it been like just getting back on campus with the guys over the last few weeks?
It's been pretty good so far. It's a nice, fresh feeling. You know, we've been getting the freshmen acclimated, making sure that they're all good and straight. Other than that, just working really hard. We got a big season upcoming. We got a lot to prove. So just sticking to the plan.
Yeah, I know that Coach had mentioned and Josh Cohen also mentioned that you guys are bringing back a lot of guys, but you're also bringing in a lot of new faces. What's that been like for you personally, just having a lot of the guys come back, or, you know, the new guys get acclimated, and how have you tried to take it upon yourself to get them, you know, acclimated to everything and make them feel part of the team?
Yeah, for sure. You know, I've been here for 2 years, so really just trying to like set the example. Like, you know, I learned from my vets when I was a freshman too, like Flag, you know, Ramir Dixon Conover, like they just took me under their wing and kind of just showed me the way. So I'm trying to do the same for them.
Yeah, I think that's a great that you can be kind of role model, a leader for them, somebody that they can go to. And I mentioned it to Josh. It makes the learning curve for them that much smaller, right? And then they can get adjusted to it that much quicker. And it makes things a whole lot easier in the grand scheme of things. But I want to get into your high school career first before we get into your college career, because you had a lot of individual success, but also team success. Only lost 7 games in 4 years. So you did a lot of winning in high school. I want to hear just how you've tried to carry over that winning mentality and also just what all that winning has done for you as a player in terms of building your own individual confidence.
Well, I want to just say it's like only me. Like, I've been around a lot of great people in my high school career. Like, I had a great coach, Coach Kramer. I played with a lot of great players. I played with dudes like Jackson Hayes. He plays for the Pelicans right now. Miles McBride, he's with the Knicks. You know, Jeremiah Davenport, he's with UC right now. I had a lot of guys that kind of showed me the way, and I try to embark on what all they taught me and what they showed me. So just kind of taking notes from everybody and kind of meshing it into my own game and my own lifestyle. That's kind of what I've like tried doing.
Well, it's very impressive to say the least. And then, like you said, you know, all the different, you know, NBA and college talent that you're going up against, I'm sure that also probably helped you improve as well. I mean, how much did that help you in your overall development as a player going up against that level of talent for so many years?
Right. It helped me tremendously. You know, like when I transferred to Muller from Mason in my sophomore year, I thought I was a hard worker. I thought I loved the game. But when I truly got around people that loved the game and tried their best every single day to get better and like get their teammates better, I really noticed like what it takes to try and be the best. So I had great examples. So I just try to, you know, copy that and like lay out my own format in my own ways while taking in like values of other people from people that already have like that experience and that greatness involved with their lifestyles.
Well, you clearly carried all the way that from then in high school, you carried that over with you into college now at St. Francis. And I want to hear what made you land at St. Francis. I mean, what was it about the program that eventually, you know, had you settle there and want to continue your career there?
At first, it was really the coaching staff. Like, I was recruited from some other Division I schools, but no other coaching staff was recruiting me like St. Francis. You know, Coach Krimmel, Coach Taylor, Coach Helton, Coach McConnell, like, they were all calling me every single day, checking on the little things, checking to see how my family was. They were just really involved in that aspect of being involved with my life, like, almost every day, like, kind of stuck out to me, and it, like, reminded me of, like, family. So I wanted to be in an organization where, like, I wasn't just another player. Like, I was actually, like, a part of a basketball family. So that really is what stuck out to me, and that's what landed me here. And then once I got here, I realized how good the people, like, the faculty here is awesome. The student body is awesome. Everybody's here to, like, uplift everybody. So that really is what made me choose St. Francis.
Yeah, I mean, I have to say, you and Josh and Coach Krimmel, I don't know if you all are getting together and sharing answers or what, but the aspect of family is a continuous theme. And I think, again, it speaks volume to the program that you guys all have and just what has been cultivated over the years. And clearly, and I mentioned with Josh, just how you don't see a lot of guys leaving, right? I mean, you see a lot of guys leaving and coming and going from all these other schools, but that's not the case with you guys. And I think that, again, shows just the connectedness that you all have as a program. Now, I know that when you came to college and you came to St. Francis, you immediately saw a lot of action. You got a lot of playing time. You were a big part of the team, big impact player. What was that transition like for you going from high school to college? I mean, were there any big learning jumps that you had to take early on during that freshman season?
Not really, but I would say the shot clock was the biggest change for me because I was used to playing at a slower pace in high school and in Ohio. There's no shot clock, so playing at a quicker pace was probably my biggest adjustment. But other than that, like, I played with a lot of great players in high school that eventually went beyond college. And I played against a lot of other, like, great players that are in Division I basketball right now or even in the NBA. So that competition level was kind of, like, already set inside of, like, my tempo of playing. So I would say the biggest adjustment was just the speed of the game.
I'm really glad you bring up the no shot clock because – there's no shot clock in high school basketball in Pennsylvania. I played high school basketball in Maryland and we had shot clock. We had shot clock in JV basketball. We even had shot clock in freshman basketball at some points.
Right.
So I'm a massive proponent of the shot clock being in high school basketball. And I want to hear, and I'm glad that you mentioned that because you lived it, you experienced it, and you had to go through that transition. And I had a lot of teammates in college myself that said that same exact thing. When they come from Pennsylvania high school basketball and then they're playing college, all of a sudden things pick up 10 times faster. Do you feel that there needs to be a shot clock in high school? I mean, you know, somebody that had gone through that transition and had to deal with it. Do you feel that you would have obviously benefited from it in high school if you had it?
For sure. No doubt. You know, just the speed of the game. Like, I played against so many teams in high school that would just hold the ball and hope to, like, not turn it over and get that one bucket in one quarter. It was just kind of like a safeguard for teams. Like, I believe if we had a shot clock in high school, there wouldn't be a whole lot of competition for us. So I think some teams utilize not having a shot clock to their advantage a little too much. And I think if high school were to have a shot clock all around the United States, a lot of players would really be able to show, like, their true skills.
Yeah, I completely agree. I mean, when I commentate games or whatever, and I talk to my boss or my producer, I say, I don't know why there's no shot clock in basketball. It's something that really, if you can't tell, it's hit a nerve. It really, really strikes a nerve in me because I just, you could see that there's clearly players that suffer from it. And, you know, it impacts guys. And then it just, once they get to college, I mean, at some points it even affects their playing time because they can't adapt to it. And so I think that there needs to be, and plus overall, just watching the game of high school basketball, it improves it, right? Nobody wants a 40 to 35 game. Nobody likes that. That's not fun to watch. We want 80 to Yeah, exactly. And I'm sure when you're probably are playing in a college game and all of a sudden you see the score is 80-72, you're like, I didn't know that this was possible. I didn't know that this was like a thing. These, you know what I mean? So I think that there needs to be, if I could start a petition online, I would. I've said that to many people,
but
I will let you know when I start it, because I will need some signatures because I don't have any right now. But I'd want to hear just about the confidence that you had going from that freshman year, because you obviously, again, come in, make a big impact, and then you continue to build off of that into last year. So how much did that great start to your college career build up your confidence throughout the rest of your basketball career?
I would say it was just Coach Krimmel kind of just throwing me out there, and he kind of told me just be fearless and just do what you can do, and that kind of helped me. And my teammates ingrained that into me too. Like, my teammates believed in me, so that aspect of having my teammates' belief really boosted my game. So it gave me confidence to go out there and just do what I do.
Well, the last 10 games of last year were definitely a big highlight for you. And clearly something was clicking for you then, scoring double digits in 8 of those final 10 games. What was it for you during that stretch that was really clicking and you just felt that you couldn't miss?
I mean, I wouldn't say everything was clicking because we were losing some games, but I would say most of it was because we had some guys that were injured and I just had to step up that much more. So, you know, my field goals tremendously went up during that last stretch of those 10 games. So I would just say it's just putting my foot down and like kind of just boosting the team from what I can do.
Well, hey, by any means necessary. So, you know, I think it's great that you are able to step up to the plate like that. And I'm sure the coaching staff's also relieved that if somebody goes down, they've got you right there to manage the chaos, if you will. But I know that you're also a member of SAC, and SAC's a big thing in the college atmosphere, in the college world. You can explain a little bit better than I can, because I was not a part of it. You're a member of it. Basically, just kind of a coalition for student athletes. So I want to hear about what your role is with it is right now, and then also just what is SAC for those that don't know?
So I'll start off with telling everybody what SAC is. So SAC, like you said, is kind of like a coalition of all the athletes within a certain institution. So we kind of just come together, like all sports. You got softball, soccer, like you name every sport. We even got cheerleading in there now too. So everybody just kind of comes together, and we'll have like a topic that the AD and the SDA will kind of just set out for us. And what we do is kind of just like kind of vote as like a program to see like what we would like to accomplish as a student body, like whether it's like getting more fans at games, like boosting each other up with academics, like cancer awareness, whatever it is, like any type of promotion for something. We kind of come together and plan it together to kind of boost it to the general public. So that's basically what SAC is. In my role, I'm the diversity, equity, and inclusion chair. So basically I'm going to be talking, like, when Black History Month comes up, I'll be a big role in that, explaining like the significance of it, women's rights, et cetera. It's just stuff that goes on within the United States like yearly. I'll be a big part of that. And that's basically what SAC is.
Now, do you feel that with you being a member of SAC, that's in some way, shape, or form improved the relationship with you and your teammates and even your coaches, just them knowing that they have somebody there that is a representative of their team, that, hey, if they have something that they want to share or an idea or whatever, they can go to you and it will be heard?
Yeah, for sure. Because if my teammates or my coaches want something brought up to the school, like, I'll definitely voice their opinions or what they think should be done. Like, I'll be that guy. And it's a good thing for the student body, because we develop relationships with teams that we might not mingle with off the court all the time. You know, like, we'll have like these Frankie points that like boost our team's like point system within our SAC membership. So it kind of just, it's that aspect of family. Like, we'll have guys at softball games, soccer games, just showing support for the student body. And once they see us supporting them, they'll come support us. So it's just like a circular bonding thing. So it's pretty cool.
Yeah, I think SAC is such an important thing. And I had a lot of friends. And like I said, my girlfriend was in it when she was in college. So a lot of people I know, I never got involved in it. I was always in just doing like broadcasting stuff. So I was never a part of that. But I always thought that it was just such a wonderful thing. How did you come about with SAC? I mean, how did you get involved and get interested in it?
again, Coach Krimmel kind of just like threw me into the boat. He's like, you want to do this? I had no idea what it was, but it involved like student body and like making the school a better place. So I was all for it. And I kind of just wanted to get to know some more people outside of the basketball program, get to know the faculty a little bit more, develop relationships. So that's kind of like why I chose SAC. That's a pretty cool system.
Yeah, I actually, it's funny you mentioned that. My college coach, Andrew Garcia, if you are listening to this, you'll maybe get a smile. He did the same thing. He like volunteered three or four of us. Thankfully, I was not picked because I just was like, I don't really like, it's great, but that's just not what I want to do. And I was so glad he did not pick me because I just would have been like, yeah, okay, I'll show up once a week for free pizza or whatever, or once a month or whatever it might be. But I think coaches have a tendency to volunteer their guys. I totally get that. Yeah. But I want to get in. Oh yeah. I'm sure you're probably very appreciative of that. And plus like, hey, at the end of the day, you put that on a resume that looks really good down the road too. And just, it benefits you in more ways than one, but I want to get into this upcoming season. I know you, like you said, last year was probably not the year that you guys wanted to have, did not finish out the way that you guys wanted to finish. But how do you feel that this team can kind of build on last year's issues that you guys might have had, but also some successes that you had, and try and apply that and build on it coming into this season?
Last season and the year before definitely puts a chip on our shoulder. I think we're far too talented to express what we did last year. And I think most of that is just staying together and staying healthy, you know. Because we have a lot of talented guys that can do a lot of great things. I think our main thing will be staying in the moment, like not getting ahead of ourselves and just worrying about everything on a daily basis. And that ultimately will lead to our success. That's going to be the main thing.
Yeah, I think that and you factor in, you know, the aspect of COVID not being that big of a problem anymore, I'm sure. I mean, how much did that impact your guys' season that one year? I mean, I'm sure that was probably such a problem, right?
It was a problem. It was, you know, just protocols of New York, like requiring vaccines. Guys couldn't go, you know, not being able to bring some guys was a big, big problem for us. Like, you know, Josh wasn't able to come on our New York trips. We had a couple other guys. So not having our full team was definitely one of our biggest disadvantages on those road trips. And not having to worry about that this year is definitely a big, big advantage for us.
Yeah, that's probably a huge sigh of relief for you guys. And I'm sure the daily testing is probably a nice, or the no more daily testing is a nice welcome thing too as well. I'm sure you guys got very tired of that.
Very tired of that. Waking up at 6 a.m. every day to go get nose swabs. Oftentimes, very annoying.
Yeah, No thanks. I've always said it. I always had a lot of appreciation and respect for student athletes that stuck through it and through all of that. Because, I mean, what was it like playing in it? And you know, just, I mean, I've heard guys, and I think it's the best way of describing it, it's like a glorified pickup game almost, because there's nobody there, but there's a lot at stake in the game. So, I mean, was that kind of the feeling that you got in it almost?
I mean, I came into COVID my freshman year, so that kind of was like my intro to college basketball. So I kind of just like went with it, went with the flow. And then that second year, I kind of got more of a glimpse of what it's like, and kind of just like kept sticking with it. But this year it's going to be a completely different ball game. It's going to be back to normal. So I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah. Are you excited for full house, full crowds, people yelling and screaming?
No doubt. I miss that. No doubt.
Yeah. That's part of the reason why you get fired up on game day, right? I mean, the crowd is a very important part of it. Well, hey, listen, I really appreciate you hopping on the show today. Thanks so much. Before I let you go, I've asked Josh this question. I've asked Coach Krimmel this question. I got to ask you this question. It involves kind of an epiphany or a realization as to when you kind of had that aha moment that you could play basketball at the D1 level. So for you, when did that click in your mind and you said, I can definitely do this?
Well, my dad played for Coach Huggins when I was a baby. So I've been around basketball my entire life. So it's kind of been like the expectation. And like, you know, I've always loved it so much. I've had best friends and family that have gone on to play Division I basketball. So I've had role models that have kind of just showed me the way, and I've kind of just tried to follow it. So from the get-go, I knew I could be a Division I basketball player.
Well, my friend, you're living that out right now, and you've got a big year ahead of you. I know that you're going to do big things, and your team is going to do great things as well. Really appreciate your time again, and good luck the rest of the offseason. I know you got practice around the corner at September 26th, I think, so get geared up for that, and good luck this season. Thanks for joining. Would love to get you back on the show, too.
Yep, no doubt. I appreciate you having me, Jack.
And there he goes, Max Land, another fantastic episode today, everyone. Thanks for joining me here on the bench. Be sure to keep following and subscribing to Ride in the Pine on Apple and Spotify, and keep following on Twitter at RideThePine20, RTP all capital, Instagram at Riding_the_pine_, and on TikTok at RideInThePine all lowercase for all of the latest updates on episodes and content to come. All 254 episodes are out now. Keep leaving those ratings and reviews, and more importantly, folks, keep your eyes and ears open for some great content coming down the road. And also, we are going to continue to keep on some great guest interviews and continuing to have some really, really great people join the shows. But once again, everyone, thanks so much for joining me here today. And until next time on Ride in the Pine, keep on sitting the bench with me.